Good evening. That's a very quiet group. I don't know what you had for dinner. Good evening. That's better. It's a little bit different than what you usually get, so stay awake with me. Grateful for the privilege of being here with you at this conference. It's not my first time. When our dear brother Christian spoke last night, it reminded me that I was here 10 years ago. It still looked the same, perhaps lost some hair. And I appreciated this conference tremendously. From the time dear brother Edwin Cross started the exercise, I was there it was a school in Plum Lane. And at that time, there were mighty brethren. I remember those days. And so I was here when we started the Epistle to the Hebrews. Well, perhaps I have the privilege to be here when we hear the conclusion of the matter. Perhaps, but it's all in the Lord's hand. It's a wonderful epistle. It is actually one of the two best exposition of the Old Testament. There is one in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24, where the Lord Jesus, on his way with those who were going to Emmaus, accompanies them. It's unfortunate there. Well, it's only one verse there. Only. I wish I was there to hear the whole 8 miles or 7 miles of explanation of the Old Testament. From there, he told them, ought not Christ to suffer first and then enter into his glory. That's all he said. And then from Moses and the prophets, he expound things concerning himself. And the Spirit of God was so kind to us, I'm just going to say that, to have the Epistle to the Hebrews written to us. We have 13 chapters, and I'm going to challenge you because he said in the end, I have written to you few words. And before the conference end, I want somebody to come and tell me how many words are in the Epistle to the Hebrews. That's a challenge here. And if you give me the answer, I would allow this person to get an extra dessert. And that's a challenge for young people, especially. Older brethren probably know that. But I want you, don't Google it, please. I want you to count the words. But it is a delight to sit under the sound of the Word of God. You probably sat in this afternoon and maybe your head was spinning a little bit. I'm going to be honest. We had only 3 verses, actually. It wasn't much. 22, 23, and 24. And it gives us a comfort to know that we know in part. And this Word of God is vast. You never exhaust it. I am sure if we come back tomorrow and take... No, we're not going to do that. The same 3 verses will be more that the Spirit of God will give in to us. I was struck this afternoon because I was really before the Lord like, what am I going to speak about? I remember 10 years ago, and actually it was in an auditorium, and I kind of remember that the young people usually kind of sit all the way in the back. I don't know why, because if it was a soccer match, a football match, you guys would be all up front. So I don't know, you can. And I remember telling Brother Simon, tell them to come down, because if they fell asleep while I'm speaking and they fall off, they're on their own. I can't raise the dead. So I'm expecting you to be awake with me today. I will be very brief, because I'm going to speak about young peoples who have desire for spiritual things. I was struck in the afternoon with Esau. I feel sorry for him. A young man who grew up and Abraham was right there. Father Abraham, his grandfather. Perhaps he's heard the pathway of faith. Perhaps he heard the calling, the God of glory that appeared to him and made him move away. Perhaps he heard of how long Abraham waited to get the seed, the birthright. Perhaps he have heard what his father, grandfather told him about the city, which is the maker and the founder is God. A son of privilege. He was born first. See, I didn't say he was the firstborn. He was born first. And naturally speaking, he should be the one. I would really would appreciate if you listen carefully and allow the Spirit of God to speak to you. I don't know all of you here. I would love to. I don't know what your spiritual state. I don't know if you are saved or not. I know you're here. Can I ask you, why are you here? You perhaps came because you love the Word of God and you want to enjoy it. Perhaps you came because you have a holiday and it's interesting to go and have tour London and then get on a train and come here and be with your friends. I don't know. But I know that the Lord have sent you here for a purpose. Tonight is recorded, not here. It is recorded in heaven. Because a day will come when you need to answer that question and you cannot say, well, I didn't hear it. You were here and you heard it. So please, I want your attention. Scripture tells us about Esau. He was a skillful hunter. And I tell you the truth, if the scripture didn't say that, I really doubt it. Number one, the two incidents that the scripture tells us about him going hunting, the first time he got nothing. I don't know what kind of skillful hunter is that. And he ended up giving up his birthright for some soup or whatever he was giving. And the second time he went hunting, scripture recorded to us, he got something, but it was too late. But the scripture said he was a skillful hunter. And he given up all. Scripture tells us, the verses that we have read, that he seeked that inheritance, the blessing, to inherit the blessing with tears. And it was too late. It was too late. I hope it is not going to be too late for you. But I don't want to dwell on the negative today. I am going to talk to you about the positive thing of young ones that went after the inheritance. The very obscure portion in the scripture that perhaps you kind of skipped over them when you read them. So tonight we're going to read them. I will start first in the book of Numbers and chapter 27. The book of Numbers and chapter 27. You have your Bible with you, right? This is not your Bible. This is your phone. It might have a Bible app on it, but it have other apps on it also that might distract you. I recommend very highly when you are in the meeting to have your Bible. And if you don't have one, room next door after this meeting, there are Bibles available there. you could get one. Because this thing here, you might be looking at your Bible, and then you get a text from your friend or some kind of notification or something, and you get distracted. So stick with the Word of God. This book here, it's worth it. And it has application, by the way. It has many apps, but good apps. Numbers chapter 27. Then came the daughter of Zelophehad, the son of Hepher, the son of Gilead, the son of Machir, the son of Manasseh, of the family of Manasseh, the son of Joseph. And these are the names of his daughters: Milhah, Noah, Huldah, Milcah, and Tirzah. By the way, I'm expecting by the end of this meeting, you would know the names. We're going to read them a few times. And these stood before Moses, before Eleazar the priest, and before the princes of all of the congregation by the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, saying, "Our father died in the wilderness, and he was not in the company of them that gathered themselves together against the Lord in the company of Korah, but died in his own sin, and had no sons. Why should the name of our father be done away with from among his family? Because he has no son. Give unto us, therefore, a position among the brethren of our father." And Moses brought their cause before the Lord. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, "The daughter of Zelophehad," and I love that, "spake right." Just mark that in your Bible, because we'll get back to it. "Thou shalt surely give them a position of an inheritance among their fathers, among their father's brethren. And thou shalt cause the inheritance of their father to pass unto them." The book of Numbers, chapter 36. And verse 1. "And the chief fathers of the families of the children of Gilead, the son of Machir, the son of Manasseh, of the families of the sons of Joseph, came near and spake before Moses and before the princes and the chief father of the children of Israel. And they said, 'The Lord commanded my Lord to give the land of for an inheritance by lot to the children of Israel. And now, and my Lord was commanded by the Lord, by Jehovah, to give the inheritance to Zelophehad, our brother, unto his daughters. And if they be married to any of the sons of the other tribe of the children of Israel, then shall their inheritance be taken from the inheritance of our fathers and from the inheritance of our father, and it shall be put to the inheritance of the tribe where unto they received, so it shall be taken from the lot of our inheritance. And when the jubilee of the children of Israel shall come, then shall their inheritance be put unto the inheritance of the tribe whereunto they received it. So shall their inheritance be taken away from the inheritance of the tribe of our father." And Moses commanded the children of Israel according to the word of the Lord, saying, "The tribe of the sons of Joseph has said well." Underline that in your Bible. Have said right. Have said well. "This is the thing which the Lord does command concerning the daughters of Zelophehad, saying, 'Let them marry to whom they think best, only to the family of the tribe of their father shall they marry.'" I would read perhaps another verse or two, but we start with that. And just before we start speaking about these things, let's look to the Lord for help. Lord Jesus, we are grateful and thankful for the privilege to be under the sound of thy word. How vast it is. full of instruction, full of blessings. Lord Jesus, we are asked that Thou would, in Thy grace this evening, open our hearts, open our understanding, touch our conscience, we pray. Give us, Lord Jesus, that we might appreciate what Thou hast given us at such a cost, even Thy life. The blessings that we have in Thee, Lord Jesus. We pray that as we will speak this evening a little bit about these scriptures, that our heart will be burning within us. Lord Jesus, enable us, we pray, as we give Thee thanks together this evening. Amen.
Amen.
Five young ladies. Had a heart for the inheritance. I wonder if they were sitting in a Bible reading like ours this afternoon, and they heard about the eight things that we were talking about in three verses. I wonder how will be the reaction. These young ladies, weaker vessels, and by the way, as I'm talking about young ladies, I'm talking to all of us. We are the subjective side, the weaker vessels. They live in a very difficult circumstances. Yet they have a heart for the inheritance. They live in the book of Numbers. And perhaps many of you, like me, sometimes when you read the book of Numbers, you wish it stopped at chapter 10. Everything was so good till chapter 10. And then from 11 on, I don't know how Moses lived with these people. Have you ever been surrounded with people that have nothing but to complain? Nothing was good. They complain about the food. I hope none of you have complained about the food here. They complained about the water. They complained about God's order in priesthood. They complained about Moses' leadership. They complained about the land. Nothing was good enough. Sound familiar? We complain about the meetings. We complained about the brethren. Complained about the hymn book. Complained about the Bible readings. We complained about everything. Nothing is good enough. These were young peoples. And in spite of this dark circumstances, that is very similar to the days where we are living. Spirit of God mentioned them three times in the book of Numbers and one time in the book of Joshua. And it's amazing when you read them. It seems like the Spirit of God keep repeating their names and their circumstances. Okay, once we heard it enough. No, seems like the Spirit of God delighted in them. Why? Why? Because they have a heart for the inheritance. Not like Joseph, not like Esau, who was a skillful hunter. The one who was supposed to get it all. Weaker vessels. But not only that, circumstances where they were in were difficult circumstances surrounding by people who are not happy people. But they had no father. They had no husband. They almost had no inheritance. Why stick around? Why stick around? They have a vision to something. They have come to, just using the language of Hebrews, to appreciate what God's purpose is. It was Moses when he sung that the children of Israel thou hast taken them out to plant them in the mount of thy holiness, the in- inheritance, their portion. I think the psalmist said it, the Lord is my portion. That was their portion, the land. Perhaps he heard Caleb and Joshua talking about it. And they said, we're going after these things. They were seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness. By the way, and all of these things, as we will find out, was added unto them. Is it worth it? It is worth it to go for divine things. Esau lost everything. Let's talk about these young ladies, young sisters, young peoples, saints who have a heart and a desire to go after that. You see, the whole epistle of Hebrews is to kind of dislodge them from earth and bring them to heaven. And we are surrounded today with so materialistic world, even in the religious sphere. Whatever is convenient, you will find. And in such Bible readings like we have, and in a Bible conference like that, Spirit of God desire to direct our eyes heavenward to our portion, and our portion is so sweet. So these young ladies, they go to Moses. Very bold, actually. And they said, this is our condition. Our father died. This is our condition. They know their condition very well. They didn't hide it. They didn't say, well, no, our father died. He wasn't with the people who rebel against the Lord and against the order of the Lord. But he died in his own sin. They confess. And he has no son, no heir. And because he has no son and no heir, we are not going to have an inheritance. Give us. Oh, when Caleb said that, give me the mountain. Give me the mountain. When the Bible reading was hard, he said, give me that. I'm going to go and conquer that. After all, he was one of those who conquered the city, Kiriath Sefer, the city of the books. Give me that. I didn't get it all this afternoon, but I'm going to go and dig into it. And have it mine. We all been there in Bible conferences where we felt like he's talking to themselves. No. The Spirit of God was talking to us through them. And you go home. And here a little, there a little. Line upon line, precept upon precept. You will get it. We'll never get it all. But you will come to appreciate. They said, give us inheritance. Actually, Moses was taken back. He didn't know what to say. They knew their condition, but they knew God's provision. And if we know our condition, we take our eyes off our circumstances and we look for God's provision. Moses didn't know what to say. Okay, let me go to the Lord here. And the Lord said, they spoke right. Oh, how wonderful it is to hear young people speaking right using scripture language in a time where everything becoming so casual. They have respect for the inheritance and they have trust in the provision of God. So they go to Moses, and Moses told the Lord, what shall I do? The sons usually get the inheritance. And the Lord said, no, they spoke right. You give them just as equal inheritance as if their father had a son. They were better than a son, five of them. And the scripture recorded to us their name. Here we are, somehow in the middle of the journey in the book of Numbers. And they realize that soon they will be going into the land. What it will be to dwell above. He's coming soon. Yes, when we get there, we get it all. And we know it all. But what an enjoying thing today to go into divine things and to know who you are in Christ. It takes away disappointment. It takes away self-esteem that, like, you know, I know who I am in Christ. Doesn't matter what the world said about me. Doesn't matter what my colleague at the universities, school, the workplace, I know I am in Christ. It's not being proud. I didn't put myself there. He put me there. And with this confidence I walk with, oh, how wonderful was Abraham when the children of Heth told him, thou art a prince from God among us. What a dignity that man had. Among the inhabitants of Canaan. Why? He didn't say that about Lot, by the way. He was sitting at the gate. You know what he said about Lot? About Lot? You're a joker. Nobody took him serious. But Abraham, the dignity of what God had put upon him and walking in it. So these young girls said, we're going to have an inheritance. Today you hear about people called influencer, right? These are the people that influence, you know what I'm talking about, young people, right? These are the people that influence you to kind of look like them, dress like them, buy the stuff that they tell you to buy, and you know what I'm talking about. These five girls were influencer. But you know how they did it? This is a good influence. You know what they did? I read in chapter 36. All of a sudden now, the fathers of that tribe are going to Moses. Whoa, 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 whoa. Now they are interested in the inheritance. They said, hold on one second. You said they're going to have inheritance. Yeah. But if they got married, the inheritance is going to go to another tribe. All of a sudden now, the tribe of Manasseh, who half of it said to Moses a couple of chapters before that, listen, this land on the other side of the Jordan is really a good land for us. There is green pasture for our flocks. Land is good. We want to stay there. And don't worry, we'll go and fight. But we're going to come back again. All of a sudden now, this, wait, wait, wait. The inheritance becomes so precious to these older brothers, ancestors. That's wonderful. That's wonderful. It's a joy for older brothers and sisters to see young brothers and sisters going on for divine things when everybody's running away. They stayed. They stuck to the truth. Perhaps they didn't get everything. But their heart was right for the things of God. So now the fathers come and said, no. And the Lord said, yes, they spoke well. You know why they spoke well? Because the girls spoke right. The influence. You see, spirituality is contagious. And so is carnality. And so is worldliness. Please be careful who you hang around with. Please be careful who are your close friends. Because they could influence you if you are surrounding yourself with people who don't like the meeting. You are not going to like the meeting. If you surround yourself with people who don't like the word of God, you're not going to like the word of God. Just a matter of time. Please. Please. Your parents, grandparents have done a lot. The time comes when you are responsible, like these girls, to say, well, just let me go on. We're all going to die in the wilderness anyway. That's what Esau said. Yes, give me some food to eat. I'm going to die tomorrow. Talking about, you know, let's eat and drink because tomorrow we'll die. Just today. First fast food, by the way, in the world, right? It wasn't McDonald's. It was Jacob. Give me something because it doesn't matter. Just eat and run. It doesn't matter. These young ladies appreciated the inheritance. But I'm going to ask you a question. What is our inheritance? Because if you don't know what it is, it's kind of interesting. Legal documents, where's Mark? Sorry, Mark, are very boring. Unless you are a lawyer. Solicitor, as you say it here. Except, if that legal document is a will and your name is in it, all of a sudden now, it's no boring anymore. You will actually gonna perhaps get a dictionary or maybe even call Mark and said, hey, I got this thing here. My name is in it. I want to know what I'm getting. Here it is. Here it is. The Word of God is a document telling me what's in God's heart toward me. And as you read it and you treasure it, you will find your portion. You see, Abraham was giving the inheritance first. And when he was almost 100 years old, he got the heir. We got the heir first. And with him, we got everything. We are heirs of God. Do you know what that means? You are an heir of God. Now, if somebody is an heir of some wealthy somebody, yeah, you are an heir of God and co-heir with Christ. I'm not making that stuff up. Scripture said that. That is your inheritance. The Word of God. All, every spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ is yours. Do you know what that is? That's your inheritance. Every blessing. Every one of them. Each one of them. All of them are yours. Christ paid such a great price to secure you for the inheritance and to secure the inheritance for you. And no clever lawyer will be able to take that away from you. No. Who can bring an accusation against God's elect? Eternal security is yours. You feel it or not, it doesn't matter. If I feel the sun is out or if I don't feel the sun is out, the sun rises from the east. Unless you live in Australia. It's all yours. Eternal security is yours. The Word of God is yours. The gifts are yours. Eternal life is yours. I could go on and on and on. But I want you to find out what's in that will, in that legal document that is yours. It will be so sad to live all your life poor, kind of going up and down, turning around. Yeah, in the end, you're going to go to heaven. Because if you are saved, you're saved. Feel it or not, you are saved. But what a miserable life. Said of Lot that he was torturing himself, tormenting himself. Scripture didn't say in Peter that he was a righteous soul. Why? Why? I think it was David's, one of David's uncle maybe, or who said to Amnon, why do you look pale? Why do you look lean, though you are a son of a king? You know why? Because he was feeding and images, sorry if I'm blunt, that he should not be feeding on. Read about him. He messed everything up for himself, his family. There's no reason to be around the bush. I work with young people every day. So. Why are you lean? Why young people don't have that spiritual energy in them? What are you feeding on? The husk of this world? Gonna end up in rags. Why? While you are a child of a king. Where is that dignity that God had put upon you? It's not God's fault. He will take care of everything. So these girls, in chapter 27, they got the land. You know what they got in chapter 28? They got husbands. Here we go. They got husbands too. It's worth waiting and seeking the Lord's things. They didn't say, give us husbands first. They didn't say, oh, there's no husbands around. They said, give us the land first. Give us the spiritual things first. And all of these things shall be added unto you. So what they got in chapter 36? They got husbands. Oh, they appreciated the land. And then we come to the book of Joshua, because that's actually the other book, which is the third time, but I'm going to go to the first time they are mentioned. And I want to go to the book of Joshua, chapter 17. Brother used to say that the person that put a clock in the meeting room did not know what he was doing. Seems like a clock in the meeting always goes faster than it should, but I'll be conscious of, like, I'll finish. Chapter 17, which I'm not known for, but I'll try this time. Chapter 17 of the book of Joshua. And I would read from verse 3. And listen to this again. I hope by now you memorize the names. We'll get to them. Verse 3 of Joshua chapter 17. But Zelophehad, the son of Hepher, didn't we read that before? The son of Gilead, the son of Maker, the son of Manasseh, had no sons. Didn't we hear that in chapter 27, in chapter 36? But daughters, and these are the names of his daughters: Milhah, Noah, Hulgah, Milcah, and Tirzah. Again, I think the Spirit of God just loved those names. I think if their father did something wrong to these girls, he gives them the right names. We'll get to the meaning of their names. It's just wonderful to me. Really. And the Spirit of God keep repeating the same thing. Okay, we know. Just say the daughter of Noah, and he mentioned their name. Milhah, Noah, Hulgah, Milcah, and Tirzah. And he came near before Eleazar the priest, and before Moses is gone, now Joshua, the son of Nun, and before the princes, saying, the Lord commanded Moses to give us an inheritance among our brethren. Therefore, according to the commandment of the Lord, he gave them inheritance among the brethren of their father. Look at this. And there fell 10 portions to Manasseh beside the land of Gilead, Bashan, which were on the other side of Jordan, because the daughters of Manasseh had an inheritance among his son. We read about them when they were in the land, the beginning of the journey somehow. Then we read about them in chapter 36 of Number, toward the end of the journey. So they were in the wilderness. And by the way, when you hear brethren talking about we are in the wilderness, you look around you and you see trees and you see green stuff and you see no sands, and you said, what are they talking about? The wilderness is a place where just very inconvenient. It's hot, it's sandy, there is no water, it's very uncomfortable. So the world to us is like a wilderness. So when you hear brethren saying, oh, this is a wilderness epistle, or we are in the wilderness, are you with me? We are living away from home. It's very difficult circumstances. If you are comfortable there, something is wrong with you. If you are comfortable in the world, there's something wrong with you. So check yourself out. It should be very uncomfortable. But we have to live through it. We have to go to school. We have to go to work. So now they are in the land. And you know what? They didn't forget anything. They come to Joshua and say, Joshua, I'm surprised a little bit. It was the daughters that came. Where were their husbands? I'm telling you, sometimes sisters are more spiritual than brothers. Where is their husbands? But they know their place. So, they go to Joshua and say, give us the land. It's so fascinating. Actually, the tribe of Manasseh is the only tribe that I know of that got portion on both sides of the Jordan because of these five young ladies. Half of the tribe got it on the east side, and so is Reuben and Gad. The rest of the tribe took the other side. But this tribe had it on both sides. As a matter of fact, it's a picture of the millennium, because in the millennium, the 12 tribes of Israel are going to have portion on both sides. If you look at the map today, they have it like either on this one or on this one. This is Jordan in the middle here. That's the Jordan in the middle. They either have it here or have it here. Manasseh have it on both sides. In the millennium, they're going to have it this way. Every tribe. And if you have time, you should read the book of Ezekiel. You should. This book is wonderful. Never boring. It's the best legal document ever. And it's true. And the giver of it, the heart of God that have revealed what's in it for us, is there. So, they were giving the land. It's actually very, very interesting. I want to go... Okay, I have 5 minutes. Just the influence of these girls. I want you... And again, another homework, because we need to kind of like, I don't want you to sit in the meeting listening to something, not taking notes, and then go home and or go to your room and kind of forget about it. It doesn't work this way. It will never work. You need to go home, get a pen and a paper, a pencil, something, and start think. And start looking into these things. This is the only way. None of you have passed in school by just sitting in a classroom, listening to something, and... Maybe some of you get a little bit in one subject. I want to be careful here. But not in every subject. Sometimes we need to do some digging and some hard work. It is true. And it's the same thing in the Word of God. So, if you go to the chapter that I didn't read, which is the first time that these young ladies are mentioned, is Numbers chapter 26. And I think in let's start with verse 33, because that's where the first time I read 27, I read 36, I read Joshua. But now I want to go back to the first time they are mentioned, and Zelophehad, the son of Hefer, it's the same thing again, you know, had no sons, daughters, and the name of the daughters. Now, if I stop here and I ask you to say them, I'm not going to do that. I hope you know them. Milhah, Noah, Hilgah, Milcah, and Tirzah. These were the families of Manasseh, and the number of them were 52,700. 52,700. Now, I have homework for you. I want you to go to chapter 1. Now, these are the chapters that usually you can skip, right? You have names, you have numbers, and like when you come to these things, you say to yourself, I mean, these hard, difficult names to pronounce. And who cares if they were 52,000? God does. And he writes, he records that. But in chapter 1, I believe they were 32,000. In the beginning of the journey, they were 32. In the end of the journey, they were 52. That is 20,000. 500 more. And if my math is right, 32 to 52, that's an increase, I'm sure there's some mathematician around here, of about 39%. Not bad. Imagine that your local assembly had 39% increase. That would be a good thing. I will ask you to make another comparison. Look at the tribe of Simeon. They started the journey in chapter 1 with 59,000 something. You know how much they ended? So don't skip those chapters, please. When you see them, get a pen, get a paper, get a thing, and like just make a comparison. It's fascinating. When they ended up, they were 22,000. 37,000 people. And do you know why they were reduced? Read chapter 25 of the book of Numbers. Their chief messed everything up. But I want you to read that. But I want to end up on a good note. I told you we're going to memorize their names, right? So when I'm walking around in the dining room, please stop me and tell me the names of these five girls. Because if the Spirit of God delighted to repeat them in chapter 26, in chapter 27, in chapter 36, and in the book of Joshua over and over and over again, it's something about their names. So very quickly, I'll tell you what their names mean. First one is Milha. And Milha means unction. Unction, very familiar word. For John chapter 2. We have an unction. He's speaking to young believers and said, you have an unction. What is that? The Spirit of God. You young believers have an unction. You have the Spirit of God that takes the things of Christ and makes them known unto you. That's the first one. Spiritual sister. It has the Spirit of God. Second one. Her name is, so we have Milha, and then we have Noah. And Noah means rest. Noah means rest. When you have the Spirit of God controlling you, leading you, you will have rest. You know, when there is an anxiety going on and you are very unsettled and driving everybody around you crazy, your parents, your peers, your brethren, everybody, if the Spirit of God take control of you, you will have rest. That's Noah. And then the one after that is who? Why do I keep losing them? After that, we have Hulga, right? And Hulga means bird. Hulga means bird. It's a heavenly character. It's a heavenly character. We are heavenly men by birth. Not like the citizen of earth. We are looking up all the time. Very different than certain animals that always look down just for their food. Esau, give me some of this red stuff. It's all he worries about. But Hulga, a bird, was looking up toward that which have eternal value. Milka, queen, royal. Oh, he made us kingdom of priests. That's your position. That's your position. Royalty. Why? Going to the trash of this world. These girls were true to their name. As I said, if their father did anything right, he gives them the right name. And they lived for it, up to it. And then the last one, she's my favorite. I think she's the youngest, Terza. And Terza means delight. Delight. I want to end up with that. Go with me to the Song of Solomon. Leave it, chapter 6, yes. Song of Solomon, chapter 6. When the Lord wanted to describe the beauty of his beloved, you know what he said in verse 4? Thou art beautiful, O my love, as, I want to hear you, as Terza. Delight, delight. How wonderful that in such a book that God takes notes of feeble, weaker vessel, no resources. It looks like even there is no future. It looks like there is no hope. But they trusted in the living God and trusted in his provision in spite of their condition, in spite of their circumstances. And God find delight in that, repeating it, their names to us over and over and over again. That day will come when we will be up in the air meeting him. I believe we will hear this word from his mouth. You are beautiful. As he look at his church, whom he have purchased with his own blood, died for, those who are bones of his bones and flesh of his flesh. And he will look at us and say, you are beautiful, Terza. May the Lord have his beauty rest upon us May we go for spiritual things. May be men and women of God in a world that is falling apart. And there is no hope for it. No United Nation, no superpower, no nothing. Until he comes, whose right it is. We talked about the millennium. When he comes, he's going to fix it up. And until he comes and fix it up, let's be faithful to him. Let's treasure our inheritance. And let's go on for divine.